Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our last study focused on God's people Israel. We have seen that a long time before Christ, God chose Israel to be his people. Through Israel, God promised to bless all the nations of the earth. God had been gracious and patient to Israel over the centuries. How did Israel respond to God's love? Many Israelites did not believe in God and did not live accordingly as God's chosen people. Who was to be blamed for Israel's failure? God's word for lack of effectiveness? God himself for having elected that nation? The Apostle Paul answers these questions in chapter 9 of his letter to the Romans. The fact that many Israelites failed was because of their unbelief. Scriptures declare that one who believes shall be saved, but one who does not believe shall perish. God's sincere desire is to save all people, whether Israelites or Gentiles. This leads us to the subject of today's study, which is God's way of salvation is by faith. Let us begin with a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 9, verse 30, to chapter 10, verse 4.
So what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
In this text, the Apostle Paul brings to our attention two kinds of righteousness: a righteousness by the obedience of God's law, and a righteousness that is by faith. First, let us discuss the righteousness by the obedience of God's law. In ancient times, God gave his law written on two tablets of stone to Israel. The Ten Commandments encapsulate the whole law. This law demands obedience, not only to a certain degree, but perfect obedience. At the same time, the law prescribes punishment to all transgressors, the punishment of death. The fact is that no human being, literally no one, is able to obey God's law perfectly. Scripture says, None is righteous, no, not one. Consequently, every transgressor falls under punishment, for the wages of sin is death. No matter how much zeal and effort are put into, nobody will ever attain righteousness by the obedience of the law. That is to say, there is no salvation through the obedience of the law. In other words, salvation through good deeds simply does not work. The second kind of righteousness is a righteousness that is by faith. What does this mean? It means that Jesus Christ, sent by God, was placed under the law for us sinners. The Apostle Paul says, Christ is the end of the law. This does not signify that God's law has been annulled, but that Christ is the fulfillment of the law in the sense that he brought it to completion by obeying its demands. Christ obeyed the law for us in every respect. Besides, he paid the penalty of death deserved by us transgressors of the law. Since Christ is righteous and holy, he was able to acquit our transgressions. And he really and effectively did. So Jesus' righteousness accounts for our unrighteousness. Through faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins, we are righteous, that is, we are forgiven, we are accepted by God, we are saved. That's what the apostle said earlier in his letter. The righteous shall live by faith. The conclusion is that a righteousness by the obedience of the law and by the practice of good deeds does not work for us. A righteousness that does work, however, and it is the only one that works, is a righteousness that is by faith. What was then the problem with so many Israelites? The problem was that they pursued a righteousness by the law. A number of Israelites were sincere in their pursuit of righteousness by the law. They had a zeal for God. They tried very hard. However, they did the wrong thing, because a righteousness by the law cannot be attained. It simply does not work. If a righteousness by the law does not work, how about a righteousness that is by faith? Wasn't that available to Israel? It was available, yes. A righteousness by faith has all to do with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, the Messiah Jesus Christ was born from Israel and lived among Israel. He revealed himself as the only Savior, as the only way to righteousness, as the rock of salvation. Unfortunately, for many Israelites, Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation, became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They did not want him. On the other hand, Gentiles believed in Jesus and attained a righteousness that is by faith and were saved. In contrast, many Israelites rejected Christ Jesus, discredited him, stumbled on him, and perished. The Apostle Paul expresses deep sorrow in face of this and prays for the Israelites. He says to the readers of his letter, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, the Israelites, is that they may be saved." Which righteousness works for you and for me? The righteousness by the law does not work. It is deceptive to think that doing bits of good works here and there, now and then, makes us all right with God. Good deeds do not pay off our transgressions of the law. The only righteousness that does work is a righteousness that is by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. He, the Savior, grants us his righteousness as a free gift. His righteousness becomes our righteousness by faith. Consequently, God's way of salvation is by faith. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans. We have seen that there are 2 kinds of righteousness, a righteousness by the law and a righteousness that is by faith. The conclusion we came to so far is that a righteousness by law does not work because nobody is able to fulfill the demands of the law. On the other hand, a righteousness that does work is a righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul applies this truth to all human beings. Listen to what he writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 to 13.
For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
According to the law of God given through Moses, if a person keeps the law perfectly, he or she is righteous. Consequently, that person shall live or be saved as a result of his or her righteousness or his or her good deeds. The fact of the matter, however, is that nobody fulfills these criteria. Alternatively, the righteousness based on faith falls in place. The righteousness based on faith does not require fanciful adventures such as going up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, or descending into the depths of the ground to raise Christ from the dead. The righteousness based on faith does not require us to search for Christ in inaccessible places. No, the righteousness based on faith has been prepared already. It is here, at hand, in Christ Jesus. He descended already from heaven to us. He became one of us, being born of a woman. He took our transgressions on him, suffered and died for us. He rose victoriously from the grave to assure our resurrection and our eternal salvation. You see, the righteousness based on faith centers on Christ and his work for us. Christ has already accomplished everything for us, and now he is easily accessible. How do we know all this? We know it because God tells us in his word, in Holy Scriptures, which are easily available to us. Through this Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith is created in the heart of women and men, of old and young. Once there is faith in the heart, then the mouth confesses this faith, saying that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. And it is by this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that a person is saved. The apostle says, "Everyone who believes in Christ will not be put to shame, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." To whom does this apply? Is it valid in our day and age? The Apostle Paul answers, "There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him." God's way of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ applies to all people, to all nations, to each individual person, no matter their race, color, culture, background, social position, and so on. The Israelite is no more important to God than the Greek is. European citizens are no more valuable to God than Africans are. In the same way as all people are equally sinners, so all people are equally loved by God. The same Lord is Lord of all, with no distinctions. He is equally generous with his gifts to all who embrace him in faith. These are universal and eternal truths. They apply to all humanity in all times. In many fields of human life, new findings replace old ones. Nonetheless, when it comes to eternal salvation, there is only one single truth, valid in the past, valid in the present, and to be valid in the future. The ever up-to-date truth that God's way of salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. How do people come to faith in Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul deals with this point in his letter to the Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 21.
"But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people."
There are several vital points of the Christian doctrine spelled out in this text. Let us consider this one. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Food can be obtained by cultivating fields. A television set can be obtained by going to a store and buying one. Health can be improved by a balanced diet and physical exercises. Information about nearly everything can be obtained on the internet. When it comes to faith, however, things function in another way. Faith cannot be grown by us in the garden. Faith cannot be bought by us in a store. Faith cannot be obtained by our own efforts. Faith is a free gift of God. How is the gift of faith granted to us? Does it fall down from heaven in a beautiful package? Can faith be downloaded from the internet? No. God chose a special means by which faith is given. And this means is the Word of Christ, Holy Scriptures. By hearing the Word of Christ, the Holy Spirit works repentance in the heart of a person. By hearing the word of Christ, the Holy Spirit creates faith in the heart of a person. At this very moment, as you are listening to this Bible study, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to give you faith, to strengthening you in faith, to encouraging you in faith. You see, to faith belong the word of Christ and hearing the word of Christ. And there is no other way around. If people need to hear the word of Christ in order to believe, then the word of Christ must be preached. To have the word of Christ preached, there must be preachers, and these preachers must be sent. All this speaks volumes to the Christian church and the purpose for which it exists in the world. The role of the Christian church is to train and equip preachers and to send them to proclaim the word of Christ. Once the word of Christ is preached and people listen to this word of Christ, then the Holy Spirit creates saving faith in their hearts. The Apostle Paul reminds the Israelites that God gave them fair opportunity and all the means to come to Christ and to come to faith. God sent preachers to the Israelites. The preachers proclaimed Christ's word. The Israelites had chances to hear the word of Christ and to believe. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, says Paul. God had been patient with Israel and insisted with them. The Lord said of Israel, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." Many Israelites despised the opportunities and the means offered to them by God. Sadly, they did not believe. On the other hand, the word of Christ reached the Gentiles. Many of them heard the word of Christ, and by hearing, they were brought to faith and were saved. Let us wrap up in a small package what has been said today in our study. God's way of salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is given by the Holy Spirit through the hearing of the word of Christ. God's sincere desire is that all people, including you and me, come to faith, hold fast to Jesus, and be saved. God's message of love is for people. So let us listen what people have to say. Today we would like to ask some questions to Sylvia about the relevance of God's message in her life. Sylvia, some of the significant words in the letter of Paul to the Romans we reflected on today are these in chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Sylvia, how did this statement of St. Paul come true in your life?
Well, I suppose because when I was a child, although my parents didn't go regularly to church because they were in business 7 days a week, I did sometimes go with my mother and my grandmother. When I was a very small child, I remember going to All Saints Church at Tooting, and I remember the feeling of it feeling different from being in a house. It was being in a special place where you were quiet and where you listened. And people sang, and they were praising God. And that stayed with me. Then when my parents moved to Croydon, when I was six, my parents both joined the local church. And before long, my father was in the choir, and my mother was a church member. And so I always went to church. And I was fortunate, really, in that I grew into a family that believed in Jesus. And so I've always been aware of the Bible and of prayer. And I remember the first time when I was about 8 or 9, I was listening to the sermon, and it suddenly dawned on me the apostles were the same things as the disciples. And I felt I'd almost entered a club, and I was beginning to understand what was going on.
So God's word played a decisive role in your life since your childhood. Now, since faith comes from hearing the word of Christ, what practical implications does it have, let's say, for a family?
Well, if a family has faith together, it's obviously easier to obey the rules of a family. The family rules should be based, obviously, on the Ten Commandments and to honour your parents, but parents also have to honour children. And it helps immensely if both partners go to church together and you bring up your family in church. I know sometimes the children go away from the church, if only for a while, but very often they do return. And so if you have a strong bond with church yourself, then I think that follows through in your family as much as possible.
That means also that, for instance, at home there can be moments, or it would be useful if at home there would be moments when the family would come together and read Bible stories or devotions and praying together. Don't you think so?
It should be part of your daily life to be together and read the Bible and to say prayers together and to keep other family members and friends in your prayers always. I've always found it a great help in a lot of the things I do. I know I wouldn't have done a lot of the things I do if it hadn't been that I feel that God wants me to do them, and that has only come through having faith and hearing the Word.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk, locate on the website directory, and there you will find a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us to study the theme, God is merciful towards all people. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned into Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.